Welcome to the Nothing Down Podcast. Showing the world there is nothing down about Down Syndrome.
Okay, we had a child with Down Syndrome years ago, and we may use language that is not PC right now, the way we've always used to talk. So if I offended anybody, it's not intentionally, just the way we are. Yeah. I'm going to get all this
hate mail. I just knew it was killing Shannon. Literally
I'm
killing
gonna get,
Shannon.
Am I going to get all this hate mail
it's
now?
It's not killing me.
No, you're fine. Hashtag America.
Yes.
Well, just cut it out.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
No.
That's fine.
No.
It only offended Shannon.
It doesn't offend me.
She just was worried about everybody else. It's fine.
Yeah.
Talking about me for?
You yell at me. She yells at me for it all the time.
I yell at you because as a founder now, you can't talk like that.
Shannon's about to have a stroke.
It's different guests.
Digital
stroke. Okay. I'm going to go off of Twitter and Facebook. That's it. I'm done. My whole life is done. I survived 29 years as a cop.
Yeah, but you won't deserve, you won't survive a podcast.
Not a podcast, no.
Don't you dare put this on me. You're the one that did. I said a single word.
I knew it was coming up with you guys. Come on, listen,
girl. Like, chicken.
Maria, right. Reel it in. All right. We have a show here.
Let's start a conversation. Let's talk about the girl from Target.
Nora Wiskevich. She is the sweetest little 3-year old. Yeah, she's 3 years old. Was in Target this week. Target's ad. She actually just started modeling not too long ago. I think she modeled for us, or her very first modeling gig was our World Down Syndrome Day.
She was also, she was just in that toy catalog too, or a toy ad.
Yeah.
Before Target.
And who was that for, do you know?
Toy Mail Company.
Oh, okay.
And that was her first.
I think that was her first
gig.
Paid, yeah. So she was on Toy Mail Company and then Target.
It's pretty amazing that a company as big as Target has reached out to her and put her in their advertisements.
Well, they've had several people now, right?
Which yeah, there's actually, I think we've had now three of our ambassadors have been in Target in the last 6 months, maybe.
Yep.
We've actually had a lot of our ambassadors all of a sudden started modeling since becoming ambassadors.
Abigail Canuzzi, she's been so many different. Carter's, or is it Oshkosh?
Both.
Carter's and Oshkosh.
Oshkosh, Toys R Us. Well, of course, Toys R Us.
Cassie is in, she was in Justice.
Yeah.
Clothing.
Yep.
And other stuff. She something just posted about her today.
A lot of our, well, we just did, not too long ago, we did a one of our awareness posters. And then Sean from Born This Way has a... has an apparel company, and they used how many of our kids? 12, I think, of our kids are now the models on the Shawnee's
That's amazing.
Website, modeling his T-shirts.
Yeah, it's really great to see all these people, all the companies using different kids with disabilities.
Yeah, it's come a long way from, I know when we had Dina all those years ago, that back then it was all those children were kept in the background.
Yeah, you would have never seen them modeling campaign.
No.
They were told to be, they should be put in an institution. Now they're just like the rest of us and out in the world, and it's so amazing that they're, it really is amazing.
Speaking of, I think the biggest one is the Gerber baby. What are the chances of a new Gerber baby being a child with Down syndrome?
I know.
I think that's pretty huge.
It is huge.
Didn't they always have like a, it was always a blonde-haired baby with big blue eyes, right?
Yep,
it was always the same look that they were going for.
Oh, yeah, they had that one look, and that's that one look only.
Yeah, I remember walking around and being like, oh, he looks like he could be a Gerber baby. And now they have a baby with Down syndrome. Now if we can only get all the other big companies to follow.
Well, you know, people in that industry follow each other. Everybody seems to, like, clone each other. So if more people and more companies pick these children up, they're going to be forced to at least enter an arena with that.
Exactly.
And that's what happens. So now you're saying they're one-fifth.
Yeah, the disability community is the most underrepresented community or minority in the advertising industry. So, you know, and we constantly, when we post and we share our posts on social media, we always are putting out, you know, we support companies and we ask our followers to support companies that support inclusive advertising. We absolutely deserve to have our kids representing the advertising community, just like everybody else.
Yes.
I think the coolest, one of the coolest one was Madeline Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in the, she was one of the first runway model with Down syndrome. That's
oh, really?
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You usually have to fit like a specific criteria to even be in the, in a runway show.
Absolutely.
And not only did they, yeah.
She's gorgeous and, you know.
I think that's huge. I think that's changing.
Oh,
that's changing a lot and setting the standard for a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that the goal really is to have more awareness about Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to do it than to have them out there in the public?
I can't tell you how many people I know say they never met anybody with Down syndrome, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But even still today, 2018.
Yeah, that's weird that,
that people have people never have, been. Yeah.
It is strange. I know when we had Dina, we didn't know anything about it. And then at the time Dina was born, then there was like five or six people in the same age group that was young, which was unheard of at the time. And you could tell that they were so befuddled.
Yeah.
Like, because here it is now, to them, an onslaught of cases. And so.
Like Shannon was saying about how she never saw Down syndrome before. And that's us. Like, when Dina was born, the doctor came in and told us she was Mongoloid, which we said, mm-hmm. What? I said, what? And she said, and he took out a picture of his daughter. He had a 6-year-old Down syndrome daughter. And when I saw her, I said, oh my gosh, like, you know, then I knew, like, I had seen it, you know, somewhere. But, yeah, we were like, that was tough to get that news right then, you know. But,
now, which doctor told you to put Dina in an institution?
No, it wasn't
that. It was a social worker.
Okay, because I was going to say, how could a doctor?
The good thing about the doctor, though, I wasn't in the room when he first came and told Mom about Dina.
He had a very bad bedside manner.
He came with a cigarette in his mouth, because back then everybody smoked in the rooms and all that. And he told her about Dina being Mongoloid, and I came back in the room and she was crying. The good thing was that he had a daughter that had Down syndrome. And his advice was that it's okay. And he told us that people are going to tell you things like you can't raise them, you should put it, institutionalize them, and things like that. So he at least prepared us in our mind to think the opposite way. Because everybody in those days was, you shouldn't even try to deal with it because they're mean, they're hard to handle.
Yeah.
And these were all the things we're told. So the next day, when we're in the hospital, then the social workers came in. And right away, just like he said, they told us that we probably wouldn't be able to handle her and we'd probably be better off if we would put her in an institution.
But isn't that crazy? Then, that was 41 years ago, right?
Yes.
42 years ago. And now, here we are, 2018, and parents are still being told,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
All the negative. It's not, there's no.
Well, I'm hoping it's not as bad.
I think it is, though. To the parents receiving their diagnosis, I think it is just as bad to them. I mean, they're not being referred to as children with or Mongoloids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we just met a family when we went out to L.A. Over Easter break who, she said, I just wish that one person in the hospital would have said congratulations.
Yes.
But instead it was as if they had given birth to this alien of some
freak
sort,
girl, yeah.
And nobody mm-hmm. could even look them in the eye to say, congratulations, your baby is beautiful. It was more so of, oh, my gosh, like, how do we even approach the situation? But why is it not being taught in medical school? And it's not. I mean.
And, by the way, that family, they did not know.
They did not.
Down
syndrome, yes.
Even
right.
at
did
that
not.
Point.
Yeah. Right. The mom said she. Actually, remember she said that she had just came across some show or a YouTube video just a few days before giving birth, and it was about a child with Down syndrome, and to her it clicked in her mind, like, oh my gosh, like I wonder if my child will have Down syndrome. She said she had this really strong feeling that her baby was going to be born with Down syndrome, and
even though she had
no idea,
she was not high risk, she was real young.
Yeah, young.
No.
Yeah, I was 23 when I had Dina.
Yeah, I don't think age is necessarily the biggest factor.
Back then it used to be.
Back then it was
if you were over 40.
Well, of course, now they still say your age is that makes you at a higher risk. Mm-hmm. But I know many young
Well, the fact is there are more people who are younger that actually have children with Down syndrome than people who are at the 38 to 45
right.
age range. And that's because, that's probably because, you know, people who are in between the ages of 23 and 35 are having more children in general. But, no, it's certainly not just a 40-plus, you know,
mm-hmm.
age.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this poor couple didn't
And I can imagine, yeah, because I know when we were told, it was like we hit a brick wall.
Yes.
Because it's something that you have no idea.
But and that's like how things still are today, and
yeah,
why.
And people looking at you like, people looked at us like, oh, poor you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that doesn't help you
at
all.
That's the same reaction that people are getting today.
You know, and
most people.
That's really sad. Because
it's sad.
I mean, because there's so many of them. Like, you never heard about any, like, real Down syndrome kids back then. You know what I mean? Now it's so prevalent. Like there's so many of them, and it's just so amazing what they can do, what you guys are doing. Nothing Down. It's I love it.
And I know people tell us, even till today, that they felt sorry for us because we had a Down child, and not once did I ever feel sorry for myself that I had a Down child. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change anything. I mean, because everybody everybody has something in their families, whether it's Down syndrome, drugs, mm-hmm. cancer. I mean, everybody has their...
Exactly.
And now all the things that I could think of that we could have had, Down syndrome was on the bottom of that.
Right. And you don't test now. Like, in 10 years, is there going to be a test to be able to see if your child is going to have autism one day? Mm-hmm. Are they going to suffer from depression, bipolar, schizophrenia? Right. And what happens then? You know, because now, you know, in my situation, I found out when I was 12 weeks pregnant and was immediately offered an abortion. This is coming from my obstetrician who knew me, who, and you know, it's kind of private, but I'm just going to say it because, you know, I had just had suffered 3 miscarriages in 3 years, and she knew how much I wanted a baby. And to me, you know, when it came up that I was high risk for a child with Down syndrome, I was very clear that it doesn't matter, you know, like I'm not going to get an amniocentesis because I don't want to put any higher risk. If she is positive or he's positive for Down syndrome, that's fine. We'll deal with that when it comes. And even after we did get the low risk testing of blood testing, and we knew within 99% chance that she was going to be born with Down syndrome, and immediately again offered me an abortion. Not even offered, kind of pressured into mm-hmm. an abortion. And it's like, what is that? This is, you know, almost a friend. You mm-hmm. know, at that point, she was really almost a friend. So if she's going to say, and we hear it all the time. Yes. Every time we hear the story about somebody getting a prenatal diagnosis, it is met with, I'm sorry. It's met with, let's go over your options. And those options aren't about adoption or, you know, it's always about abortion. And it's just sad because what does that tell that new mom who 10 minutes ago was super excited about the baby that they're about to have?
Yes.
It's saying that baby's not worthy of being
right.
alive, or that baby is not worth being born. And look at little Reagan and the joy that she brings to everybody. I mean, I can't imagine. She's changed everything about our lives. You know, our kids are just in love with her. She's like the brightest light in the world.
Same thing with Dina.
Yeah.
It changed our lives.
Like if somebody asked me.
She was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. What would, in my life, what would be a, like, not a success, but a, like my purpose in life, I would always say that anybody's purpose in life, if they can touch somebody else's life in some way positive. Well, I know Dina alone, thousands of people that she's touched that have changed her mind about different things, not just about Down syndrome, just show the unconditional love of a Down's child. So, I mean, you look at that and you say, wow, how can you down that?
Yeah.
It's like, it's amazing.
I mean, look at Iceland. You're not even allowed to have a Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pregnant with a Down syndrome, you have to abort it. That's sad.
It's sad.
I don't even know how they can do that.
And it's spreading. It's spreading like wildfire.
Well, that's why, hopefully, in some little way, Nothing Down can reach out to people and say, hey, listen, you're going to hear the one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
We just want you to hear the other side.
Right.
And show, hey, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't give it up for anything. No way. If you put me back there and again, I would do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us would.
Yeah.
So even just growing up with Dina.
All you guys.
I was glad to see my children being able to have Dina around to show that different is not bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That difference okay. And to respect anybody with a difference, I think to help them a lot, helped me a lot.
Oh, it definitely helped us. I think it made us who we are, really. I mean, even just having our friends around, I think it opened their eyes all. to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
Julie,
a different.
Like, there was a purpose for Dina, for us having Dina. They say God doesn't give you more than you can handle, which I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's a purpose why we had her. And this down, nothing down is it. And I'm proud of you guys for what you're doing. And
thanks, Mom.
It's amazing. Thank you. I'm really proud of you.
We're here to change it. Change the world.
You will change it.
Change the way the world sees them.
Like we always say, even when, as a coach, for the years I coached, you can't reach every player, but if I could just reach one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we have. One. We've reached way more than.
That is the most amazing thing. We get messages and emails and then subsequent phone calls from people telling us that they were on the they were on the fence, not knowing what to do, being encouraged to do one thing from their doctors and even their husbands, and then coming across one of our videos or documentaries and then our community, and that is, there's nothing in the world. I mean, that's why we do what we do.
Yes. Not only we could just change the way that the medical field uses, which that's our next mission.
Yeah, they're indoctrinated, though, so it's...
Well, from what we heard, it's not even discussed in medical school at all.
Yeah.
No disabilities of any sort during pregnancy are not necessarily, I mean...
We heard some pretty scary, I'm not going to call out the institution at this point, but we heard some pretty scary news from somebody who approached one of the biggest medical schools in the tri-state area. And they asked if they could go in and educate the medical students on how to deliver a proper Down syndrome diagnosis. And they were told that we are no longer concentrating on anything like that, that the goal is to eventually do away with diagnosis of Down syndrome.
It's crazy.
It's brutal.
Oh my God.
It's absolutely crazy. And it's crazy to even be in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We're not Iceland. and it's kind of weird because we just heard recently that Pennsylvania and Ohio, it's now illegal to have an abortion based on a Down syndrome diagnosis. So some of the laws are going in the opposite direction, yet you hear something like that from an elite medical school. It's kind of
crazy.
And you wonder what could change that mindset. Like, I know when we did the first photo shoot and the
video.
And we put all the kids in a room with everybody,
mm-hmm.
and the parents were able to see it and all, and you could see everybody's mindset, even amongst ourselves, changing.
Mm-hmm.
And to see, wow, this is pretty neat. And I think somewhere along the road, they have to see this somehow to show that your thinking is wrong.
Well, we did learn about that, right? Out in California, can't say who we were with, but remember the story that I think it was a semester from the medical school would come hang out with him,
mm-hmm.
and then after spending a day or two, it completely changed their mind on mm-hmm. Down syndrome and, like, the whole prognosis of it.
Yeah.
That's all they need. We just need to – maybe we just start taking a whole bus full of – individuals with Down syndrome up to the medical schools and being like, here you go. This is what you're encouraging to get rid of, and you have no idea why or what blessing these people really are.
And maybe spend more of your time thinking about how can we make things better.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
How can we prevent the heart conditions that are associated?
Or how to get through it. I mean, some things you don't prevent, but how to make it easier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, because I know with Dina, they were so befuddled by her conditions. Thus the story about how they told us she wouldn't live to be 5, then 8, then 12, then 15, and every 3 years we go back, and they would tell us this is it. She's not going to live any longer, and 35 years later she's still there until she passes away. And all that time, nothing's really being done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they had never seen a case like hers, they said. Or maybe they put a little bit of resources in that.
Yeah, maybe.
But then again, people with Down syndrome are living longer because they are learning a lot more.
Oh, the medical advances now are great.
I mean, even back when Dina was born, do you have an idea? I think it was like 30.
Not even. I think
maybe
it was
40.
I don't think it was that much. But I know her condition, they told us, definitely no more than 15 years.
Okay. And now you can easily live into your 70s. I mean, 60.
Yeah. How old is Corky?
I don't know. Oh, he's not that. He's, I think...
He's got to be older.
50. He's older than Dina.
Dina used to. Dina watched him all day, every day.
Oh, every day. We met him. We brought him to meet her.
Summers Point. Yep.
Yeah.
Chris Burke.
She loved him. Yep.
I believe he's old.
I don't think
early 40s.
He might be 50s.
I mean, I'm sorry, early 50s.
Yeah.
Late 40s.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, I believe that the life expectancy is somewhere around 65, I believe. But there's plenty of
okay. Chris Burke is 52.
Okay.
But still, to me, that's a pretty good age.
From what that was, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's 20 years more than what your parents were told, or not what you're told, but at the time, that's what the life expectancy was. 30 years old or so.
I can still remember, like it was yesterday when we had Dina and the doctors, the two pediatricians fighting over
Izzy
Downs or not for a month.
They bet each other.
And
you didn't know that?
No, one doctor said, no, she's not. And
the one that
we trusted the most, he said, trust me.
She is.
She is.
Did you ever get a test?
Yes, we did have a test done. And they came back and they said, yes, she's Downs. And you could tell that the two doctors were not in sync with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it caused a little bit of contention there. Because why give somebody false hope?
So even that story from California, from the couple that we met, they were not sure. It was, well, maybe she is, maybe she's not. And it took them 2 weeks to get their blood work back.
It took us
a month.
Yeah, a month. And then they took us, all the young people, remember, and we used to take Dina and these other children to Washington, D.C. because they were doing a study because they couldn't understand why all these young people were having Down syndrome babies.
Well, they were giving her a shot.
That shot.
It says that it would make her smarter.
What's coming up? Anything coming up?
Oh, yeah. We have our walk coming up, our second annual walk on June 23rd. Last year was amazing.
South Jersey Field of Dreams.
How many people last year?
Over 600.
Gosh. Yeah, we had 450 register, and then the day of, another 150.
That's your first-time walk.
First-time walk. This year we have close to 300. Registered, I think.
Yeah,
at
this time last year, we only had about 225, so we're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
How do people sign up for everyone?
So if you go to our website, www.nothingdown.org, a little screen will pop up for you to register for our walk. And if you register
on our Facebook page, you can. There's an events section of our Facebook page. You can find it there.
We're also looking for vendors.
Yeah.
And for volunteers to attend.
We're going to have food again, correct?
Yep, food trucks. Food trucks as last year. We have Bare Knuckle Cafe.
We have a petting zoo again this year, right?
Yep, petting zoo.
Petting zoo.
We have Denny's Dogs. They do hot dogs, hamburgers.
Oh, I told you.
Well, we were just talking about Bare Knuckle
Petting Zoo. Has nothing to do with the food truck.
We do not cook the animals.
How did you put this petting zoo in between?
You never know.
I thought you were talking about petting dogs.
First, I was talking about food trucks, and Shannon decided to butt in with her petting zoo.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back.
Okay.
You're always thinking about food.
I love food. But we have Bare Knuckle Cafe, Denny's Dogs,
Kona Ice, Chick-fil-A,
Jay's Crab Cakes. They were a big hit last year.
Oh, yeah. Chick-fil-A, we are having Chick-fil-A this year, right?
Oh, you are?
I believe so.
Doing that. Pizza.
If we get to the activities now, I'm done talking about food because that we've just ran out of all the food options. We have a petting zoo, magician, DJ, bounce house,
face painting,
characters.
Oh, we have like a train ride.
A
wagon train?
Sure.
Six kids on their own little wagons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting driven around the fields.
The owner of the petting zoo actually recommended doing that instead of pony rides, since pony rides have a weight limit.
Yes.
He said the train ride all individuals can do.
The conductor of the train?
Yes. We've got you a train hat already.
Do you have one?
A conductor hat.
I'm ready for that.
Yep.
Got our Elmo.
We have Elmo.
Yeah.
Elsa. Spider-Man.
We'll have to look at
it. I know, but we're hoping to have more than last year, so.
Yeah, last year's was amazing. It was such a
so much
day.
Fun.
Yeah.
Pray for no rain.
Yes, rain or shine, right?
So. No 90-degree weather.
Yes.
Because that was tough.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, that was hot. But it was fun.
It was a good time. A lot of people.
And you got your awesome gala coming
yes,
up.
Yes, gala. 20th. October 20th. You can't plan soon enough for that.
Yeah.
That was...
Mike won't be there this year. It's okay, though, Mike.
Whoa, whoa, where are you going?
Well, he's too cool for us.
That was great last year. Gala.
Same band, Twisted Charm, will be there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yep, yeah. It's at Bally's Casino again. It'll be so much fun.
Do I have to get dressed again?
Yep.
Yep.
Tuxedos. I guess we can let you slide with a suit if you want.
Why can't it be like a luau where we don't have to work?
No, we do need to. I think we do need to. I mean, we can have a family luau, but will you be there is the question.
So we do want to start bringing
it. Can we have a family gala luau?
That's what I'm saying.
How about a destination?
Mike, you plan it.
Yeah, destination, Luau.
Aruba.
Yeah.
Well, we do want to start branching off. We are going to start planning walks in other states.
Oh, really?
Well, we would like to actually start opening chapters in other states. That's been on our radar for a while. So that's
we're looking for the right people to help us out.
So in the next
well,
year,
we move to Florida, you have a name.
There you go.
Give me a reason to go.
Right, it would give me somewhere to visit as well. So if you could do that sooner than later, that'd be
wonderful. The only reason we're not going.
That's messed up. Yeah, we're looking to do chapters throughout the country.
Yeah, we got to get the awareness out. Like, it's really doing well. You can see it.
Yep.
So.
Well, we already had our first trial headshot clinic, too.
Oh, yeah.
In California.
It was a mini one. It wasn't our full...
And how'd that go?
It was good. It filled up.
Yeah, we filled it up. We actually had to open up. We were doing a very mini. We were there filming a documentary. And so while there, we thought, well, we'll just try to quick throw together a headshot clinic. We literally threw it together in, what, a week and a half?
Yeah.
And all of our spots filled up that quickly, really quick. And we had to open up a couple more spots and... So it went really well.
Got a lot of good feedback.
Yeah. Now, we just did just the basic headshot clinic. We do want to, you know, we hear all the time from parents contacting us, asking how they can get their kids involved in modeling, how they can, because, you know, we do a lot of our ambassadors after becoming ambassadors with us are getting work. We have a lot of our kiddos. They're really, they're doing well and getting seen, and it's been pretty awesome. So, the goal is we have a lot of, like I said, we have a lot of parents contacting us and they want to know how they can get their kids involved in modeling. And a lot of them have headshots. They just don't know what to do with them. So we want to be able to have some kind of a program where we do the headshot clinics, but we also offer education for the parents there on how to get their kids into modeling. So not just give them the pictures and have a great time and then go. We want to actually give them some resources so they can get their kids, you know, take the next step after they leave and then get their pictures. So we've been talking to a lot of agents and getting information from them, what they want to see in the headshots, what the different variety of pictures, and just like even just down to clothing, what kind of clothing they should be wearing. And then so it's going to be a little more than just getting pictures taken, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But we had good feedback from that. So we're going to start spreading that. I think we are going to hit, where do we, Georgia, Florida, and I think Texas are the first states we're going to hit for headshot clinics. Of course, we're going to do it in Philly first, but after that, we're going to head down there and kind of go from there.
But I wonder, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but what else they need, you know what I mean, like as the next step. I mean, for us to teach people the awareness of the positives of Down syndrome, what else could we do, you follow me, to get some kind of a feedback from newer families to say, this is what I really am wrestling with.
Yeah.
You understand, follow me. I mean, I don't know where it's going, but.
I think that's what we struggle a lot of times because we started as, even though we weren't nationwide in the beginning, that was the goal, to be a nationwide organization, but we do kind of have a lot of local stuff going on, which is so great because we bring so many families together and we're really supportive and they get a lot of support from the community here. We want that, and that's why we talk about doing chapters, because we want that all over the place, because
we know how much it means to the local families.
Right.
But we can only do so much working out of Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You know what I mean? And we really want to be able
to spread
that
across. And that's why I wonder what house, some way that we – I mean, without Brand, we can't do that all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But to help – I mean, because I remember how helpless we felt.
Yeah.
We had no –
there was nothing then. At least they have options. There's other different organizations that deal with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But people still feel, to me, are still on an island by themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody's giving them the support.
Mm-hmm.
For us, luckily, we met families that went to the studies with us in Washington, and we became friendly. And then the kids went to the ARC and started hanging out with each other. And so that became our support group.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have that, I don't know, it would have been so much tougher. But when they're younger is when it's really tough, I think, because, like I say, you're on an island by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Feel helpless.
It's nice now, at least with social media.
Yes.
There's at least, even if they're not in the same community as you are, in the same local area, at least it's for parents, they can reach out and talk to other parents. But it's not the same as being able to have play dates and get together and, you know, one-on-one talk to parents.
But even still, Facebook pages or groups alone, they weren't around when Dina was still here 7 years ago.
Yeah, and have social media. That's huge.
It would have been such a huge benefit for Dina. I mean,
I don't even think you talked to the ballot that much. That
No.
Like, even when Dina was an infant, like, she had her motor skills were so, like, weak. And I used to drive her up to, like, 45 minutes away 3 times a week just to get her some therapy because there was nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
Things definitely have changed for the better.
Yes, they have.
But I still remember that feeling of helplessness. I mean, you experienced it, and it's tough.
Ideally, we would love to be contacted if somebody at the local hospitals give birth for us to come in
and
talk to or send another family to, but with HIPAA laws,
The hard part is, like you said, HIPAA laws, and we talked about this, that we should have a way, there should be a way that when somebody has a child with Down syndrome, that they can say, hey, listen, there's this group out here. If you need any help,
call them.
Call them. So we're not violating the HIPAA laws.
Right.
But it's very hard to have a medical professional that will do that.
Well, we are starting
especially when the doctors are telling you to get an abortion.
Yeah, the doctors kind of try to avoid the whole thing as if it's some awful plague that just happened.
That's
I mean, you can't even get them to congratulate you, let alone say, congratulations, please contact these.
Yes.
Right.
This group,
if you need help,
they will help you out.
They'll do that with every other problem.
I would say, once my obstetrician realized that there was no way I was having an abortion, that I was keeping this baby, it did switch, and all of a sudden she became supportive. My next appointment, she gave me a phone number of a woman that is in her practice that also has a child with Down syndrome.
Oh, well, that was
so she did, I don't want to make it sound like
she was a terrible person,
but it was definitely not a warm welcome. After that, and I was actually really surprised I stayed at that practice, but at the time I just felt like she knew knew me the most, and, you know, I was afraid, you know, if it was a higher risk pregnancy. I just wanted to be with somebody who knew my history and everything. But anyway, she did come around, and she did provide me with some resources. But, you know, those resources should be available before the offers of abortion, quite frankly. I mean, it should be like, hey, here's I don't know what you need. Why don't you digest this information? Here's some information.
Right.
Here's some support. Come back and talk to me in a couple days, and we can, you know,
well,
I don't know.
That was, like, kind of your main goal. You want to get stuff into the hospitals and the doctor's offices.
We send out Blessing Biscuits of Hope. That's our main program right now, where anyone can sign up on our website. If they know somebody that just received the diagnosis, or if they themselves just received the diagnosis, they can go online and fill out a form, and we send out this Blessing Biscuit of Hope. But realistically,
it contains all of our documentaries, so you will get to be able to see the potential of what your future child can, you know, can meet. But
it also has some other goodies, like a onesie from Nothing Down, just resources for them, a magnet. But realistically, getting us into these hospitals so that we can actually speak to these people face-to-face,
very difficult.
It's going to be very difficult, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll get there one day.
How about the idea of...
Have you tried to go to, like, the pediatric floor, any of these hospitals or anything? Try to...
We did have contact with a couple of hospitals, actually. I did have contact with Virtua at one point. But
down
on Cape May? No, Virtua's like up in Voorhees. I did speak to someone there, but it's just not.
Well, how about how we do the baskets?
Yeah.
How about if they would just give without us being involved, we give them the basket to give to the parents.
Yeah, we've had some agree to that.
We've done.
I mean, that's a step.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you want. But
yeah.
It's in there.
The nice thing is there's a few Facebook pages that tend to have the most, like a lot of the new parents when they first get the diagnosis, prenatal diagnoses, they come on, join these groups really fast, and then tell their story. So thankfully, that's where a lot of people hear about it, because if it's not one of us seeing the post, it's one of our followers or somebody associated with us, they tell us, or they just tag us, and then we see it, and then we're able to get their address and send it to them. So
it would go back to your idea, too, of branching out the different states, chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have more ears, eyes out there. Yeah. Yes.
But again, there's Down Syndrome support groups all over Facebook, so mm-hmm. I can't at least twice a day. I see posts coming up that someone just received the diagnosis earlier that day. They're scared to death. What can they expect? And just to see the positive support.
That's when they
from
meet
different
somebody
moms.
Yeah, there's 6,000 children born with Down syndrome every year. Our ultimate goal is to send a basket to every one of those parents. We know that's probably not real realistic right now. But
only because you can't find who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. We're
6,000 born. Where?
Every year in America. In America. So we're hoping
and
to
increase
at least,
every year.
Yes.
Increasing every year, yeah. So we're hoping to at least get a quarter of those this year. So we'd like to send out about 1,500 baskets. We'd certainly send out 6,000 if we could. We need the names and addresses. We need, people to refer. So
that's how you have to branch out and have people just, like you say, hear it, tell us.
Exactly.
We'll do the rest.
If you're going to be greeted from your doctor with this negative, sad, I'm sorry, poor you, you can at least get a congratulations, here is the potential from us. That's what we want to do.
Oh, my gosh. If we would have had this social media back then,
it would have been so much easier.
It would have been so different.
So different.
I mean, for years, it was like you're like, going up a river without a paddle.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat that you two have taken up this cause and you've had past experience with children with Down syndrome. But then you have people who don't.
Yeah, this awesome guy right here.
Yes.
Mike, you are
Mikey.
Awesome.
That
Mike.
I guess for you. it's a bad expression, but I'll use it anyway. I'll get in trouble. But you don't have a horse in a race.
Yeah.
We always say that. Yeah. Mike does not.
He don't have. Yeah,
this guy just happened to hear about us, came and filmed the very first documentary, and has stuck by our side. I mean, he's just phenomenal. Mike, did you know any? You have no connection with anybody.
No, Becky actually has a cousin. Doesn't Becky have a cousin?
Yeah, but I guess technically no. I'm here under duress, if anyone is wondering. I'm just kidding.
Mike is a man of few words.
We take everything you just said back.
Two. That is correct.
It's not an easy task.
They won't let me leave.
Oh, my goodness.
He communicates us with GIFs only.
Only. GIFs only. We ask him a question, we get a GIF back. It's usually a GIF of someone rolling their eyes at us. But it's exactly how we picture him.
Because it is easier when you have a horse in a race.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I thank our sponsor for our very first podcast, DJD, Darcy Johnson Day Lawyers.
In Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey.
These guys have been with us from day one, before anybody believed in us, before we had made any kind of a name for ourselves. They supported us financially.
I hear you, Joel. I hear you.
My mic just fell off the table. No, Darcy Johnson Day, they They've been one of our biggest supporters from day one. They support every single event that we hold. We actually just recently won a contest that they had on their Facebook page. Last year we got second place in it. This year we got first place in it. But they're known for donating. Mm-hmm. I believe they donate $100,000 a year to local organizations. Yeah, to local communities. So they really are amazing. And
yeah, they donated it to the golf tournament.
Yeah, for Nothing Down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've been probably our biggest.
And not just financially. I mean, last year when we had our walk, they had a huge team.
Yeah.
A lot of, I think, 20, 30.
Did they?
Showed up.
Yeah.
Cool.
So oh, yeah, not only do they financially support.
We're having a Team Dina one this year, right?
Yep, Team Dina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this year, gosh, how many teams do we have signed up for the walk? Probably close to like 15, maybe 20 different teams set up. There's prizes for the first two fundraising teams.
Top two earners and for the highest number of walkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a close race right now.
Agents Army won. Last year we didn't do number of walkers. Last year we just did.
Just by money, yeah.
Yeah.
But who did that? Just Sweeney's family?
Yep.
They won first.
Agents Army, yes.
And Team Emily Grace won second. And they are by far in first place this year.
Are they?
For the fundraising.
For the fundraising portion, yeah.
Yeah, but we have a lot of.
We have Team Little Man. Little man.
But they were the first ones to sign up, and they've been killing it from the beginning.
What'd
you say?
That's Malcolm's words over there. We don't know what he's saying.
But it's little. All right, guys, time's up. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Big shout out to Jim and Marianne Scopa for being our guests. Before we sign off, Julie and Shannon, you have anything?
Yes. Do not forget to sign up for our buddy walk June 23rd at the South Jersey Field of Dreams. You can register at www.nothingdown.org or at our Facebook page, Nothing Down.
And last thing, we want to hear from you, so please let us know what different topics you would like us to discuss in our upcoming podcast.
And once again, thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. You've been hanging out with Julie, Shannon, and Mike from Nothing Down. We'll see you next time.
This is Nothing Down. Showing the world there is nothing down about Down syndrome.